Welcome to David's Book Talk, and we have a very special guest today. He's a New York Times best-selling author, and his new book is called Assholes Finish First, and his name is Tucker Max. Hello.
What's going on, man?
It's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're a very popular guy.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, here you are. Have you written these two books, The Assholes Finish First, and I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, both of which are doing very well. And we have to talk about this cover, the Assholes cover, with you in the police lineup. Is that a real picture from something that happened, or is that just staged for the book?
Well, the picture itself is staged, but the real mugshot is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the clown pub crawl story.
Right.
I got arrested. A bunch of my buddies dressed up like clowns, and we got arrested, and, hilarity ensued.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, how many times have you been arrested?
I don't know. I mean, 4 or 5, something like that, at least.
Right. I have to say, reading this book, I mean, it's an adventure for me. And I'm laughing just thinking about all the different things in the book. How did you decide what to put in the book and what... Was there anything you told yourself you wouldn't put in the book? Or is everything pretty much here is there more stuff that wasn't put in the book?
Well, I mean, I've got a third book coming next year, so it's not everything. But it's basically whatever I think I can make funny, I put in the book. You know, even if it's... Sometimes I can take stupid, meaningless things, you know, whatever, and just write them up in a funny way, and it works well. Other times, really funny things in real life don't translate well to paper. So, I mean, my goal as a writer is to entertain people, and that's sort of like, if I think the writing is entertaining, it goes in. If I don't, it doesn't.
It's interesting reading this book, too, because you realize when you read it that you're really a smart guy. I mean, you're very intelligent.
Yeah, of course.
Because
people who don't get that are the ones who don't read it or engage it. I mean, you can't, right? I may do stupid things, but you can't write about these things in a funny, engaging way without being at least somewhat intelligent.
Right, and being funny for a whole book is not easy.
No, it's not at all.
And that's the idea, to make people. Would you ever consider like doing a stand-up of this book and things like that? I mean, have they ever asked you to do something? I'm curious how you would, if we listened to you tell the story, whether it would be as funny as the book is.
Well, see, here's the thing. Is that different mediums require different things. And so I think I absolutely could tell the stories. I mean, I have. Plenty of times I've been in bars and, like, I'll, you know, have some drinks and me, I'll tell one of these stories, and it's uproarious, but it's not the exact same thing. Because you can do a lot of different things on paper that don't work verbally and vice versa. So if I were to sort of be like a sort of a drunk Garrison Keillor or something, you know, Garrison Keillor,
right.
I would have to really sort of practice it, and I would have to refine it, and I'd kind of have to commit to that as opposed to committing to writing. I don't necessarily think one's more valid than the other. I'm just better at writing these stories out, I think, maybe than I am. Or that's just the way I kind of... That's the path my career has taken me, as writing as opposed to oral tradition.
Yeah, you talk about fame and how fame is never what you think it's going to be. And it's very interesting. You do those side little things in the book. I like the way you do that. I mean, we feel like you're a normal person and really telling it honestly. I mean, you're very honest in this book.
And yeah, well, I mean, that's... I am in both books. And that's sort of... That's me. If you're not going to be honest, then... That's like, what's the point of writing?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of creating art if you're not going to be honest with it? Because, I mean, everything, all advertising, all marketing, all government, all politics, it's all fucking lies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if people want lies, they don't need to read my stuff. But that's, I think, what makes it so compelling and engaging is that I don't try to make myself out to be the hero if I'm not. Like, sometimes I'm not the hero. Sometimes I'm the goat. And I'm willing to, like, say that, you know. But sometimes if I'm the hero, I'm going to say I'm the hero.
Do you sometimes think you are an asshole?
Of course. who among us has not done something that when you look back on, you're like, oh, man, that was really messed up? You know what I mean? If you haven't made mistakes and if you don't have regrets and you haven't lived.
Absolutely.
Now, granted, I may take it a little extreme sometimes and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, we all... It's only a matter... The differences are a matter of degree, not of qualitative.
Right. And like I said, your honesty just comes through, and that's what makes the book even more compelling, that we realize these things really happened. And the more you read them, and the more you think, come on, this didn't really happen. What kind of a reaction do you get, email-wise and letter-wise, from people about these things?
I would say it's 90% positive. You know, I mean, it's all over the map. It's everything from, you know, this is just like me and my friends, thank you for writing it down. This is, I can't believe, you know, you do this, you know, how do you do this? From all the way to, you know, I want to sleep with you, I want to hang out with you, I hope I never meet you. I mean, every reaction you can imagine, I've got.
And are you totally immune to, I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of people that write you and don't like you. I mean, are you immune to that? Does that bother you if somebody writes you a letter and says that they hate what you've done? Or
no. I mean, why would I?
I as you know, we're only human, you know. We can still feel hurt, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, like if someone I cared about, you know, like said something like that, that would matter to me. But why it doesn't, what someone I don't know and probably don't like thinks, it doesn't. It doesn't really occur to me that should impact me one way or the other, you know?
I think about...
I mean, the other side of that coin is that I'm not, like, sitting at home only paying attention to the praise and ignoring the bad stuff. You know, like, you can't have it that way. Either you pay attention to everything or none of it really impacts you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of fall on the none of it impacting me scale.
When you first started writing, like, I hope they serve beer in hell... Was it as difficult as you thought it would be to write, or does it flow pretty easily from you?
Well, see, that's the thing that you have to understand is that... No, right here. That's the thing you have to understand is that I didn't... When I started writing this, this genre of literature didn't exist. You know, this style of storytelling didn't exist. And I mean, not that I'm... God forbid, I'm not in any way implying that I'm the first person to ever tell a story by any stretch, or even a story about drinking.
Right.
It's just my kind of specific way of doing it. Didn't exist, so it's not like I woke up every morning and said, okay, you know, I got to invent a new genre of literature. How do I do that? That never occurred to me. To me, it was just about telling a story, you know, in an entertaining, compelling way. And however, it was just get to the top of the mountain. And whatever means necessary I used, and I just happened to do it in a way that no one else really did before me, you know?
Right. So, in other words, you're really a trailblazer, almost, for this kind of,
I mean,
these kinds of books.
That's what other people have told me. You know, I mean, I'm not... You can't really say that about yourself. That's sort of like giving yourself a nickname, you know?
Right.
Doesn't work.
But as we know, with books, it tends to be when one person gets successful with one genre, there's more people that want to jump on the bandwagon.
Of course.
And be what you are.
Yep. But, I mean, listen, I've been doing this for 8 years. And I've had a best-selling book before, and no one's really done anything close, which is kind of shocking me. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's easy, but I feel like it can be done. You know, like, it's not so hard that I'm the only person on earth that can do this.
Right. No,
I've sold millions of books doing it, you know.
Right.
I have a pretty great life. I feel like, I don't know, I don't really understand what the issue is.
Now, I haven't seen the movie. Now, you talk about the movie more than a couple of times in the book, but were you generally... You talk about how you really knew how the movie was going to be before it even was filmed, because you were working on the script.
I knew what I wanted it to be, yeah.
Right. But you didn't have any power as far as what was going to be put on the screen?
I mean, I wrote the script, and I was a producer on the movie, but if you don't cut the check in Hollywood, you don't matter. And I didn't cut the check,
mm-hmm.
So...
Does that bother you?
It didn't matter. If I learned one thing on this movie process, I learned never to ever, ever, ever do a creative endeavor where I'm not in complete, absolute control of my product.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I think a lot of writers feel that way, but sometimes they just don't have any say. You know, they give away their book or whatever. How long did it take you to write, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell? I mean, when you just started writing it, and then you did the...
Well, I had a bunch of stuff up on my website before I did the book, and a lot of the stuff in the book is on the website. I gave, you know, maybe half the book away for free.
Right. The website came before the book, and then when did you just...
Because no one would publish me.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even kidding. The you know, five of the stories stories that make up the bulk of a book that's sold millions of copies now, I've sent to every publisher and every agent, being, you know, publishing.
Well,
magazine, newspaper, and everything, I got rejected from every single one.
Do you think they were being honest about why they rejected you, or do you think there's other reasons?
I think they don't know what's good and what's not. I think they can't do their jobs very well. I mean, like, someone who's in publishing only knows what's been successful in the past. If they were good tastemakers, they'd probably be out there making the taste and not just, you know, buying what sold last season.
Absolutely. I agree. And there's this, and you know, there's so much in, you know, what is hot now, and then that's what's going to be published, and that's what you, I mean, how many vampire novels can you have before it just becomes old?
Well, I mean, they'll publish them until they stop selling them.
Right, but which I guess is the bottom line.
But think about this. I mean, it's not like people just discovered vampires 2 years ago. I mean, people would have bought these novels 10 years ago, probably, if they'd been out there.
Mm-hmm.
People would have bought my stuff 10 years ago if it had been out there. I did not invent drinking or hooking up or youth culture in the least bit.
I'm
the first one to write about it. You
right.
know? And believe me, like if I had existed pre-internet, you never would have read this book because it never would have been published.
I believe you.
I got rejected from every single publisher before I put it up on the internet.
Do you keep all your rejections? Do you, like, hang on them?
No. I'm not. You know, I know writers that do that, and it's never made sense to me. Like, I don't know why you would surround yourself with failure when you can surround yourself with success. We all fail and succeed on our path through life, and I don't know why you would accentuate the negative. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely, I agree. It seems like you knew you were going to succeed. It seemed like you had this drive and that you were going to keep doing it until you did succeed. Is that really true?
Yes, absolutely. Like, I'm just one of those people that knock me down 8 times, I'll get up 9.
Right.
It was only a matter of time for me, I think. But I'm just one of those people. You know, a lot of people will quit. I've seen a lot of people with more talent than me doing things and quit before I did, and the reason I'm a star and they're working in a cubicle is because I just never gave up. Now, on the other hand, I've seen a bunch of people with no talent wasting their time on stuff when they should be doing something else too, so it's not like the only difference between me and someone who didn't succeed was perseverance. I mean, some of it is, you know, you got to put the right work in the right place. You can't just get up every day and spin your wheels. You got to get traction too, and they're different things.
I like reading about Alexa. She's the woman that is kind of haunting you in a way.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you've seen her?
The last time I saw her was maybe a week after the last story in that book.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give away a little bit of hilarity and truth. I go back, you know, after that threesome with the two exes, I go back to, like a fool, I go back to the well. And not just once, but twice. And so, of course, like, third time in, everything blows up and goes to hell. And then that was the last time I've seen her.
Right. I mean, and she's in this book a couple of times, and it's interesting because you wonder, what's she going to do next? And she's got
there's not really any more stories with her. I put all of them in there.
Was there any kind of a fear of meeting? I mean, you're very open to the fact you want to meet women, and you meet these women, and you don't even know these women. Was there any kind of a fear of doing that? Did you feel like you were going to meet somebody who was really deranged and would try to kill you or anything?
That's life, dude. You roll the dice. I mean, are you afraid when you walk outside you're going to get hit by a car?
Yeah.
No. I mean, that possibility exists, but you don't not walk outside.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what's the alternate to being too afraid to meet women? I don't meet women. Well, that's not feasible, dude.
Right.
That's a non-issue. That's why I do everything. So.
I just wonder because, you know, all through the book, you're meeting these women, you know, right off the internet, and, you know, you don't really know anything about them, and it's just, I think, you know, your welfare.
At the very beginning, it's something like 25% of all relationships start on the internet in some way or form now. So it's not like this isn't a big deal anymore. But even at the beginning, like maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, before that was really true, I mean, I'm pretty good at reading people. I'm pretty good at dealing with these situations and understanding them. And I mean, it wasn't really that much of a problem for me. I mean, there were definitely problems, and I wrote about those. And they weren't funny to me at the time, but they're funny to everyone else to read about. But I'm not worried about it.
Now, there are pictures in the book, and I love the way all the... I guess you have to block out the faces to protect the innocent. whatever you might want to call them. But have any of those people gotten in contact with you and asked you why you did it, or were they? Was anybody upset to be included in the book?
Upset about being in the book?
Yeah.
I mean, no, not really. The Fresno vet, that girl, sent me a bunch of if I wasn't sure if she was crazy before, now I know. She sent me four emails, maybe 3,000 words a piece, like all one block of text, no paragraph, barely any punctuation, just ranting about whatever kookiness she was talking about. So like that one has. But most of the people that are, especially the recent ones, I mean, they come to, they know who I am. They know they've read my book.
Right.
So they understand.
And they admire you.
Something crazy happens or whatever, they know it's going to be, written about probably. I protect everyone's identity. I choose to live in public. They don't. So I protect their identity. It's about my life and my experience. It's not about outing people or something, except for Katie Johnson, who was a public figure, but that was a different situation.
Right. So you have been with some famous people.
Yeah. Huh? I mean, I lived in LA for 2 years.
Right. And
But when I'm in a situation like that, it's like those sorts of situations where you're both famous, it's sort of like, I've hooked up with a couple famous girls, and I don't ever talk about it because, part of the deal was this has to be between us.
Right.
And so if I tell someone like that, some girl's like, I don't want you to write about me. I always tell her, I'm like, look, sweetie, my life is on the record. If you don't want to roll the dice that way, then don't hang out with me. But if it's someone who's, famous, and they ask me for that up front, then, that's no problem.
Right. You're very honest and upfront, and that's probably why a lot of women respect you and admired you so much.
Of course, yeah, because most guys lie.
Yeah, absolutely. The honesty, how can you, it's like Howard Stern. Everybody may dislike or dislike him, but you got to admire his honesty. He's not afraid to say what he feels. I mean, nothing, he doesn't hold anything back, and neither do you. Or do you hold anything back? Have you ever held,
the only stuff I hold back is stuff I think people don't care about. Like, who cares that, I love my dog and I take her for a walk every morning and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not funny or interesting, so I don't talk about it.
Right. Well, it may be interesting to you, but it may be fun for you, but...
Well, no, it's not right. It's not interesting to anyone who doesn't know me in person, So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm writing books to entertain people.
Right.
Not to tell them about my life.
And is it as fun to entertain as you thought it would be?
I mean, nothing's ever as good or as bad as you think it's going to be before you get it.
But how is it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just... Nothing's ever what you expect either. So it's like, look, if I didn't want to do this, I could take the fucking site down and I could go into hiding, no problem. I mean, I'm not Brad Pitt where I can't go to the grocery store. I could end this at any point I want. I just cash royalty checks the rest of my life. But, I like it. And I like it enough that I keep doing it.
Do you get recognized on the street a lot or just a little?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
So that's fine. Does that ever get old? Do you ever get to the point where it's too much and you have to go inside?
It totally depends on the person. If somebody's cool, the vast, vast majority of people are super cool, want to shake my hand, what's up, dude, blah, 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 that's it. But if those people I got no problem with. It's the creepers or the ones who are like, dude, why aren't you drunk? It's 10:30 in the morning on Tuesday or something like that. Like, I hate those people.
Yeah. So that would enough of those and you get pretty annoyed.
Yeah, but those are the vast minority. The vast majority are really cool people.
Now, most of the things that happened in this book were in your 20s, or did some of it happen when you were in your 30s?
Well, I put dates on all the stories.
Right.
Yeah, some happened, it just depends. I turned 30, maybe 2005 or 2006. So I turned 30 right after I... Post Beer and Hell out. So everything that was post Beer and Hell, the book, I was in my 30s. Pre Beer and Hell was, my 20s.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, you're very honest about your childhood. Was your childhood totally unhappy, or were there a lot of happy moments? Were there some happy moments?
Nobody's childhood is totally unhappy. It was not a good childhood. I did not have good parents. They're not like evil people. They didn't put any, stick any broomsticks on my butt or anything like that. But
right.
I mean, is we're very bad at being parents.
Yeah. And would they admit it if we asked them?
I don't know. I mean, how many people do you know will admit their flaws?
True. I just wondered. Do you think that you have a lot of flaws? I mean, do you think you...
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, who among us is not flawed? That he cast the first stone.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not me. I'm not throwing stones. I mean, I do throw stones, but just me and myself as I do anyone else.
Was this, of course, we're talking about Assholes Finished First, the new book from Gallery Books. But was this book harder to write than the first one, or
yes.
Is it getting easier as you go along?
It was harder and easier.
So what made it harder?
It was harder because I was following a massive, massive cult hit that millions of people love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
And like anytime you do that, anytime you make a sequel to a huge hit, that's hard. Because you have so many expectations and so many people, you know, your work of art takes on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes this edifice that kind of exists outside of you. And I mean, I have people coming up telling me what Tucker would do. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm Tucker Max. They're fucking going to tell me what I would do. You know, that happens all the time.
People really are stupid. People really are stupid.
Tucker would do this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? First off, you're talking about my life and what happened to me. Not, you know, I'm not a character that a vodka company created to sell alcohol, you know? And it's, I don't know, that's the hard part. The easy part was I'm a much, much better writer now than I was when I wrote Beer and Hell. I've only been writing professionally for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, if you think about it, that's not a very long time. Like, I never self-identified as a writer in college or grad school or anything. I never took writing classes. I never, any of that stuff. So, the sort of being a pro is new to me, and I've changed and evolved a lot as a writer the last couple of years. I've gotten a lot better.
But the writing flows so well. You read this book, and it's hard to put it down because the stories just get more and more interesting. And
that's the point, man. If it does that, then... that means I did a good job. That means my job is to write a book that is entertaining, compelling, and makes you want to read. And if I do that, then I deserve my world's chair.
Right. Would you ever consider doing a fiction book? Would you ever consider doing something different from what you're writing now? Or is this really what you want to do for the rest of your life, this kind of book?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I tried fiction when I first started writing, and I sucked at it. Because fiction has to make sense. And nonfiction doesn't. Nonfiction just has to be true. So, my life doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. So it's much easier for me to write about what happened and try and explain it post, you know, ex post, as opposed to create a world that would resonate with a lot of people out of thin air, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying. That's very interesting. I mean, it's very interesting to hear you say that. I was sure you were going to say, yes, you could write fiction. But
I think I could. I think I could write fiction. I don't think it would be as good. I think I would be an average, at best, fiction writer. At best. I think fiction is a lot harder than nonfiction. And people who write really good fiction, like someone like, even like a James Patterson, they don't get the respect they deserve.
Do you read fiction?
No, not really.
No.
I don't. I mean, very, very little.
Do you still... I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, I was going to say, do you still party even today? When I say today, I mean...
Of course I drink. Of course I hook up. Of course whatever. I'm nothing like I was when I was 25, though.
But you don't regret...
At 25, it was 5-6 nights a week. I was out of control. Now it's like one night a week, maybe.
Do you miss that? That 5-6 nights a week?
No. If I wanted to do it, I would do it. I don't do it anymore because I don't want to do it anymore.
That's great. I'm just so admiring your honesty, and it's so refreshing because, like you said, so many people lie and they don't tell you what they... Is there a message that you're trying to convey in this book?
You know, here's the thing. There were two stories in there that I tried to kind of convey a message, and both of the stories my editor sent back, Jeremy Ruby Strauss at Simon, and Neil Parker, who's my co-writer of the movie, were my two editors. And they both sent it back, and they're like, dude, what the fuck? Like, no one wants to read this. You need to cut this from, you know, whatever, 3,000 words to 300 words. And whenever I try to put a message in, it inevitably comes across heavy-handed and and, you know, I don't know, so heavy and almost oppressive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't try and put a message across, if I just write what I'm feeling and write what I'm thinking, then my message just naturally, organically comes out because I don't try and be anything other than who I am. And there's definitely a message in Beer and Hell. There's a message in Apples Finish First, and they're kind of there by accident. Like, they're just the emergent property of me being who I am.
Right. Do you hope to have a family someday?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I don't want to be single my whole life. That would suck.
Well, some people seem happier single. Not necessarily they are happier, but...
Those people exist, I'm sure. I'm definitely not one of them.
Right. That's interesting. So you've already got the third book planned. Do you think about the fourth book already, or are you just? How much into the third book are you?
Third book, maybe half to 2/3 done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, man. I really don't think I'm gonna have enough material for a fourth book. I think third might be it.
Right.
And I'm not gonna say never. I'm not gonna make any definitive statements because I don't know. But I'd be shocked if I have enough for a good solid fourth book.
Do you keep in touch with the friends in this book, all the different people with the interesting
names? Oh yeah, they're all coming out to various signings. Like Charlotte's gonna have Sling Blade and Hate. PWJ almost came to DC, couldn't because his kid got sick. JoJo was supposed to run to Chicago. They're my buddies. I mean, they're still my buddies, you know.
Right.
We follow different paths in life to some extent, but we're still buddies.
Right. So it's nice you're in. Well, how about some of the women in the book? Do you still talk to some of them?
I mean, yeah. It depends which one.
Only certain ones,
my
right?
My best friend. I mean, Bunny is my best friend in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see her all through the book, sort of like a side character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got my dog right now when I'm traveling. You know?
So you do.
So I talk to her every day.
You do have a huge admiration for women. It's not just all. When you read the book, it seems like, you know, a lot of it's just the moment to have sex. But you do admire women, though.
Well, I mean, you're a guy. I mean, I don't know if you agree with this or understand it, but I feel like everything we do as men is to impress women and for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really. It doesn't bother me. I don't mind that. I mean, women smell better than us, prettier than us, they're soft and sweet and great, and of course, that's our lot in life.
And who has, and I do, I see women, and you know, they do make you feel good. Who doesn't feel better talking to a beautiful
exactly.
woman?
Exactly.
I mean, I love the stories about the midgets in this book. I mean, I just laugh every time I think about those midgets. And, you know, it's just...
Yeah, the midget came out to the DC signing, actually, one of the midgets in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's still friends, huh?
That's great. I mean, it just seems like your life has been a lot of fun and still continues to be a lot of fun.
It is, because I make it fun. Like, I do things that I think are fun. I mean, why would you not? What else are you going to do with your life, you know?
Well,
you know, not like it? Give it my choice. I'm going to live a life I like.
That's good. I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm glad that you're having fun. Is it difficult to have as much fun now as you did then? I mean, are there different things that you do now to have fun? I mean, do you have any hobbies or do you play sports or anything?
Yeah. Sorry. That's actually a good question. My interests have definitely changed. There's no doubt that I am sort of in a transitionary phase in my life, where I'm kind of going from the guy I write about to the guy I'm becoming. And so a lot of things, when it was Friday night and it was time for my buddies and I to go out drinking, by 6 o'clock I had already opened beers and I had already watched, 8 Mile was like my movie, I would watch to get hyped up and go out and party. And I had already watched 8 Mile and I had already gotten to the battle rap scene and I was so jacked up. I mean, I was like Ray Lewis before a football game.
Right.
So cool, I was so excited. Now, it's like, boring's not the right word, but maybe going out can be tedious sometimes, you know? And it's not that I don't like it anymore, I'm just at a different stage in my life. And, you know, it's time, I don't know, there are other things, like, what I enjoy most in the world right now, I enjoy hanging out with my dog, you know, going for walks with her. I enjoy hanging out with the people I care about. I enjoy really crafting a great story. You know, writing used to be only about making my friends laugh, because that's how I started, was just writing emails to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's more about crafting something that, like, I feel like is really funny, you know? Crafting something that's, like, really good. And, so, I mean, it's not that, you know, I like any number of things. I think, and I mean, at some point in the next couple of years, I'm sure I'm going to find a girlfriend and then, you know, get married and have kids, and then my life will shift to that. But it won't shift. A lot of young guys, like 23, 24-year-old guys, get married and they shift to that because they have to, you know? They have responsibilities they have to take care of. I sort of waited until I wanted to go into that part of life, you know? And now it's like, I almost can't wait to leave sort of the drinking and partying behind and move into a new part, because that's the part I'm ready for, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I hope we get to see your life in your books, with the hilarity ensues and what may come after. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Tucker Max.
Definitely, man. Thank you.
And this, the book again is called Assholes Finish First, and we've been talking to Tucker for the whole 30 minutes. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you later.